Nothing lights us up more than helping people grow their wealth through multifamily investing in a way that actually feels good and makes sense where they are right now. That's exactly why we created the Where Am I Now Multifamily Assessment.
Here's the thing, no two journeys ever look the same. Maybe you're just starting out and simply curious about what's possible. Maybe you're dipping your toes into your really first passive investment, or maybe you're craving that behind the scenes peek at how it all works.
You might even be gearing up to go big and acquire your first deal, or ready to scale your portfolio to new heights by teaming up with strong partners who can help you grow like never before.
Instead of tossing you one size fits all advice, boring and not helpful, this assessment zooms in on your exact stage of growth.
It helps us get to know your goals, your challenges, and what gets you most excited about building wealth through multifamily investing, so we can hand over the tools, resources, and support that actually moves the needle for you.
The best part? It only takes a few minutes, but the clarity you walk away with, that's the magic. Think of it as your roadmap to what's next.
Ready? Head to kittysisters.com/whereaminow to get started. That's kittysisters.com/whereaminow.
You're about to discover why 97% of people will die broke, while the other 3% build generational wealth through one simple decision they make that most people are too scared to even consider.
Tommy and I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters. We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio. We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment. This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
My name is Palmy Kitty, and along with my sister Nancy, we scale from zero to over $400 million in multifamily real estate. But here's what nobody tells you about wealth. The difference between rich people and poor people isn't how much money they make, it's what they do with their money when they get it. And today, I'm going to show you the exact system that transformed two immigrant sisters into multifamily moguls. But first, let me ask you something that's going to make you uncomfortable. When was the last time your money worked harder than you did? See, most people have been programmed by what I call the poverty operating system. They think wealth comes from trading time for money. They think real estate is only for rich people. They think apartment buildings are only for Wall Street billionaires. That's exactly what I used to think until I discovered that multifamily real estate isn't just an investment. It's a wealth generating machine that works 24/7, even while you sleep. As one half of the Kitty Sisters, we've helped thousands of investors break free from the single family trap and scale into large multifamily properties. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to give you the exact blueprint we use. Here's what's really happening in America right now. While everyone's fighting over single family homes, competing with primary homeowners and fix and flippers, there's a massive opportunity hiding in plain sight. Large multifamily properties, 65 to 325 units, are sitting in what I call the sweet spot of wealth creation. They're too big for mom and pop investors, too small for massive institutional players like Blackstone, which means less competition and more opportunity for sophisticated investors like you and me. But here's where most people mess it up. They think they need tens of millions of dollars to get started. That's a lie the system wants you to believe. The truth? You can control a $15 million multifamily apartment complex with as little as $3 to $4 million. And most of that doesn't have to be your money. Let me break it down for you. When you buy a single family home, you're buying one income stream. When you buy a 150 unit apartment building, you're buying 150 income streams under one roof, one loan, one insurance policy, one management company. But here's the real magic. Single family homes are valued by what similar home sold for. You have no control, you just hope the market goes up. But apartment buildings are valued in businesses based on income they generate, and you control that income. The formula is property value equals net operating income divided by cap rate. Here's the math with real numbers. You have a 150 unit building and increase rent by $50. Monthly income increased $50 times 150 units equals $7,500 more per month. Are you tracking so far? Annual income increases $7,500 multiplied by 12 months equals $90,000 more per year. Apply the cap rate formula. Most markets trade at 5 to 6% rates. At 6% cap rate, $90,000 divided by 0.6 equals $1.5 million. At a 5% cap rate, $90,000 divided by 0.5 equals $1.8 million. So by increasing rent by just $50 per month, you've increased the building's value by $1.5 to $1.8 million. Let that sink in. Think about it. $50 per month per unit across 150 units creates over $1 million in equity. That's the power of forced appreciation at scale. Properties under 65 units, you're still dealing with mom and pop sellers who make emotional decisions and frankly don't keep proper paperwork. Properties over 325 units, you're competing with billion-dollar funds that pay all cash. But in the 65 to 325 unit sweet spot, you're dealing with sophisticated sellers who understand business, but you're not competing with mega funds. It's a perfect storm for wealth creation. Now, let me give you some exact system we use to find and acquire these properties. Step one, market selection. You want to focus on what I call the Goldilocks of marketing. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Secondary markets in the Southeast, Southwest, places like Charlotte, Nashville, Dallas, Fort Worth, Phoenix suburbs, etc. Those are your perfect zones. Now, let me break down exactly what I mean by Goldilocks markets, because this is where most investors get it wrong. Too hot markets are places like San Francisco, Manhattan, or Beverly Hills. Sure, the properties are expensive, but the cap rates are terrible. You're talking 2 to 3%. Your cash flow is non-existent, and you're betting everything on appreciation. That's speculation, not investing. Two core markets are declining Rust Belt cities, places like Detroit, Cleveland, or Buffalo. Yes, you can buy properties cheap, but there's no population growth, no job creation, no demand for your apartments. Cheap doesn't mean profitable, but just right markets, these are growing secondary cities where you can still get 5 to 7% cap rates, strong population growth, and reasonable property prices. Think about it. Charlotte has become a major banking hub. Nashville is the healthcare and music capital of the South. Austin, suburb are overflowing with tech workers who can't afford downtown anymore. Why these markets specifically? Three critical reasons. I want you to write these down. Reason number one, population growth. You want markets where people are moving to, not from. Look for a 2 to 3% annual population growth. Why? Because more people means more demand for apartments, which means you can raise rents, maintain high occupancy. For example, Tampa has been growing by 50,000 plus people per year. Charlotte has added over 100,000 people in the last 5 years. These aren't just numbers. These are future tenants for your properties. Reason number two, job diversity. You never want to invest in a one industry town. What happens if the industry collapses? Look for major markets with at least 4 to 5 major employment sectors. Nashville has healthcare, music, tourism, logistics, technology. Phoenix has aerospace, healthcare, technology, manufacturing, and tourism. If one sector struggles, the other keep the economy stable. Reason number three, landlord-friendly laws. This is huge and most investors ignore it completely. You want states where you can actually collect rent, evict problem tenants, and operate your business efficiently. Avoid states like California, New York, or New Jersey, where rent control and tenant-friendly laws are destroying your returns. Stick to business-friendly states like Texas, Florida, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Arizona. Step two, deal size strategy. Here's what nobody tells you. You want properties between $8 to $25 million. Why that specific range? Let me paint a picture for you. Properties under $8 million, let's say $3 million, 30-unit property, you're still dealing with mom-and-pop owners who make emotional decisions. They inherit the property from grandpa. They're attached. They don't understand business valuation. These deals take forever to close and often fall apart. And besides that, again, they tend to keep really poor books, so you really can't trust their financials when you're underwriting the property. Properties over $25 million, let's say $50 million, 400-unit complex, now you're competing with Blackstone, Starwood, billion-dollar pension funds that can pay all cash and close in 30 days. As a beginner, you can't compete with that. Now, for us, we have purchased properties up to $77 million, but that's after 7 years of being in this business. But at the beginning, we wouldn't recommend it. But for $8 to $25 million sweet spot, that's where the magic happens. You're big enough to attract institutional quality financing. We're talking 65 to 70% loan to value with non-recourse debt, but small enough that you're not competing with the mega funds. Let me show you what this looks like with real numbers. A $15 million property, that's typically 120 to 150 units, depending on which market you're in. You need somewhere between $3 to $4 million down payment. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but here's the beautiful part. You can raise $3 to $4 million from other investors through syndications, other investors who love real estate, who are looking for that type of deal. So your actual cash in the deal might be $300,000 to $400,000, but you control a $15 million asset. That's a 30 to 1 leverage on your personal capital. Let me say that again, non-recourse financing at 65 to 7% LTV, the government-sponsored enterprises like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are literally backing your loan. And if something goes catastrophically wrong, they can't come after your personal assets. Think about that. You get a $12 million loan. If the property fails completely, which almost never happens, with proper underwriting, the worst case is you lose your down payment. They can't touch your house, other investments, or your personal assets. That's the power of non-recourse debt. Step three, the broker network effect. This isn't about what you know, it's about who you know. But here's the secret. started, you don't need to know hundreds of brokers. You just need to know the right 10 to 15 brokers. Let me explain how the commercial real estate world really works, because this is insider knowledge that most people never learn. Every major city has 3 to 5 brokers who control 70% of the quality deals. These aren't the biggest firms necessarily. These are the specialists who focus exclusively on multifamily properties in your size range. Here's how you can find them. Go to LoopNet right now, search for multifamily properties that are sold in the last 12 months in your target markets between 8 to 25 million. Look at who the listing agents were. You'll see the same 5 to 10 names over and over again. Here's your action step. Those are your target brokers. Now, here's how you approach them. And this is really, really critical. You don't want to call them asking for deals. You call them positioning yourself as a serious buyer. So here's a script that you can copy. Hi, my name is Palmy. I'm actively acquiring multifamily properties in the 8 to 25 million dollar range in, say, the market. I have capital committed and I can close quickly. I'd love to introduce myself and learn about your current pipeline. Then you follow through. When they send you deals, you analyze them quickly and give feedback within 24 to 48 hours. Even if you don't buy, you stay engaged. You become known as the investor who responds fast, asks smart questions, and can actually close. Within 6 months, you'll be on the preferred buyer list. That means you'll see deals before they hit the market. That's where the real opportunities are. Step 4, the pipeline strategy. Here's where most people fail. They look for one deal at a time. Wrong approach. You need to be analyzing, and I know this is gonna sound scary, 50 to 100 deals to find one worth buying. But here's the secret. Let me break down the math for you, because understanding this ratio is crucial to your success. Out of 100 deals you look at, 80 will be overpriced or in bad locations and immediately a pass. So you're not gonna do a deep dive into those. 15 will be interesting, but have fatal flaws. Deeper analysis, but ultimately you'll also pass. 4 will be worth making an offer. 1 will actually close. This means that you need to constantly feed the pipeline. You should be looking at 10 to 12 new deals every week. Sounds overwhelming, right? It's not when you know what you're looking for. You're not just looking for deals that work today. You're looking for deals with upside potential. Let me give you 3 types of value add opportunities that create wealth. Opportunity type number 1, occupancy plays. Property is 80 to 85% occupied that you can stabilize. Maybe the previous owner was a poor manager. Maybe they had deferred maintenance issues, or maybe they just didn't know how to market effectively. Opportunity type number 2, rent growth plays. Property with rents $100 to $200 below market that you can push over time. This happens when owners get comfortable and stop raising rents, or when they don't understand their local market. Example of this happened on my very first multifamily property purchase. The seller had owned the property for 17 years. He was a fat cat, so he wasn't intent on just continuously raising rents and checking the market. He was just chilling. But we saw that as an opportunity, and when we bought the property, we realized that's where we can gain some grounds. Opportunity type 3, physical improvement place. Properties with deferred maintenance that you can fix or force appreciate. New roofs, HVAC systems, unit renovations, exterior improvements. The key is finding properties where improvements will generate more income than they cost. Spend $5,000 per unit on renovations, increase rent by $150 per month, and you've created massive value. Step 5, the underwriting advantage. Where everyone else use basic cap calculations, you need to think like institutional investors. Here's where most investors fail. They look at a property, see it has a 6% cap, and think that's good enough. That's amateur hour thinking. Professional investors, the ones making serious money, underwrite every deal with 3 scenarios: base case, upside case, stress case. Base case. This is the most likely scenario. Conserve rent growth, normal occupancy, standard expenses. This scenario should still generate acceptable returns with target 12 to 15% IRR minimum. Upside case. This is if everything goes right. You execute your business plan perfectly. Market conditions are favorable. You achieve maximum rent growth. This scenario generates 18 to 25% IRR. Stress case. This is your worst case scenario. Recession hits, COVID hits, occupancy drops, major capital expenditures are needed. Even in this scenario, you shouldn't lose money. Maybe you make 6 to 8% IRR, but you are not in the negative. And we've seen this play out and across our portfolio, referencing the 76 unit apartment that we purchased. You see, with that property, we had underwritten the deal so that the return in 5 years was projected to be 100% return, meaning 2x multiple. Now, due to our operations and market conditions, we ended up delivering a 3.11x multiple. That would have been considered best case scenario. However, when we presented the deal to our investors, we showed them the typical expected case scenario that would happen, not the best case scenario. We model our 5-year cash flows, multiple exit strategies, and sensitivity analysis on key variables like economic vacancy, which is basically the amount of people who's actually paying rent. Even if they're physically occupied, the units can be not paying rent. Rent growth, exit cap rates. For example, we'll test for what happens if the economic occupancy drops to 55%. What if we have no rent growth instead of 3%? What if we had to sell at a 6 cap instead of a 5 cap. These levels of sophistication is what separates the professional from the amateurs, and it gives you confidence to move quickly when the right deal comes along. When we find a deal that works in all three cases, base case, upside, and stress, we move fast and we'll have an offer submitted in no time because we know we found something special. This systematic approach is how we've been able to acquire over $400 million in assets. It's not luck. It's not timing. It's having a proven system and executing it consistently. Now, let me blow your mind with how financing works at this level. At 65 to 325 unit level, you're not just getting a loan. You're accessing the most sophisticated financing in real estate. But before I show you the opportunities, you need to understand something that most investors get completely wrong. There are two types of debt in commercial real estate: recourse and non-recourse, and understand the difference could save you from financial ruin. Recourse debt means you are personally liable for the loan. If the property fails and cannot cover the debt, the lender can come after your personal assets, your house, your savings, your other investments. Everything you own is at risk. Non-recourse debt means the lender can only go after the property itself. If something goes catastrophically wrong, the worst case is you lose the property and the down payment. They cannot touch your personal assets. But let me give you a real-world example of why this matters. During the 2008 financial crisis, I knew an investor who lost everything, their home, their retirement accounts, their children's college fund, because they had recourse debt on commercial properties that went underwater. But investors with non-recourse debt, they lost their down payments, which is obviously devastating, but they kept their personal wealth intact. They lived to invest another day. This is why non-recourse debt is the holy grail of commercial real estate financing. And at 65 to 325 unit level, you can access it. Now, not all non-recourse debt is created equal. There are five main type of lenders, and each serves a different purpose in your wealth building strategy. Type 1, agency debt, Fannie and Freddie Mac loans. This is the gold standard of multifamily financing. These are government-sponsored enterprises that were created specifically to provide liquidity to the multifamily market. They offer the best terms in the business, 75 to 80% LTV or loan-to-value, fixed rates for 10 to 12 years, 30 years amortization, and true non-recourse debt. When does this fit in? This is perfect for stabilized property with 90% plus occupancy, market rate rents, good conditions. Your business plan is to buy and hold for cash flow and long-term appreciation. Here's what it means in real numbers. On a $15 million property, you might pull down $3.75 million and get an $11.25 million non-recourse loan at a fixed rate for 10 to 12 years. Red flags to watch. Agency lenders are conservative. They don't like major value at place, significant deferred maintenance, or markets they consider risky. If your property needs major work or is in a declining area, you won't qualify. Type 2, bank debt. Regional and community banks that specialize in commercial real estate. These are typically smaller relationship-based lenders who know their local markets intimately. They can move faster than agency lenders and are more flexible on property condition and business plan. When does this fit in? This works well for value-add deals where you need more flexibility. Maybe the property is at 75% occupancy and needs some work. Banks understand local markets and can underwrite deals that agency lenders can't touch. Typical terms, 70 to 75% LTV, floating rates tied to SOFR, 3-year terms with extension options, often non-recourse after a seasoning period. Red flags, watch out for personal guarantees that don't burn off. Some banks require full recourse for the entire loan terms. Also, floating rates can hurt you if interest rates rise significantly. Type 3, life insurance companies, the patient capital provider. Life insurance companies have long-term liabilities. They need to match those with long-term assets. They're willing to provide 10 to 15 year fixed rate loans on high quality properties. When does this fit in? These are perfect for core properties in prime locations that you plan to hold long-term. Think A-class properties in major markets with strong, stable cash flow. Typical term 65 to 75% LTV, fixed rate for 15 to 20 years, strict underwriting standards, true non-recourse debt. Red flag, they're extremely conservative. They want pristine properties in the best locations with strong sponsors. If you're new to the business or the property has any hair on it, you won't qualify. Type 4, bridge lenders, private equity firms, REITs, and specialty finance companies. These lenders specialize in speed and flexibility. They can close in 30 to 45 days and will finance deals that other lenders won't touch. When does this fit in? These are perfect for heavy value-add deals, distressed properties, or when you need to close quickly to beat competition. Your business plan is to renovate, stabilize, either refinance, or sell within 2 to 3 years. Typical terms, 65 to 70% LTV, floating rate usually tied to SOFR 30-day average. 2 to 3 year terms with extension options, often non-recourse. Red flag, higher interest rates and fees. Extension options often come with rate increases and buy downs. Make sure your business plan can handle the higher cost of capital and that you have a clear exit strategy. Type 5, CMBS lenders, commercial mortgage-backed securities. These lenders originate loans with the intention of selling them back to Wall Street, where they'll package into securities and sold to investors. When does this fit? These work for large deals, typically $5 million plus on stabilized properties. You get competitive rates and true non-recourse debt, but with less flexibility flexibility than other options. Typical terms, 70 to 75% LTV, fixed rates for 10 years, 25 to 30 year amortization, strict prepayment penalties. Red flags, prepayment penalties can be brutal. Sometimes 10% of the loan balance if you want to sell or refinance early. Also, if the loan gets into trouble, you're dealing with a servicer, not the original lender. Here's a critical part that most investors mess up. You have to match your business plan with your loan structure. If you're buying a stabilized property for a long-term hold, agency debt is perfect. Low rates, long-term, predictable payment. If you're doing a heavy value add play, buying a 60% occupied renovated units stabilized over 18 to 24 months, you need bridge financing. The higher cost is worth it for the flexibility. If you're buying a trophy property in Manhattan and you plan to hold it for 20 years, life insurance money makes sense. You get the longest terms and most predictable payment. Here's where people get in trouble. They choose the loan based on the lowest rate instead of what fits their business plan. Don't take a CMBS loan with harsh prepayment penalties if you want to sell in 3 years. Don't take bridge financing if you're planning a long-term hold. The rate resets will kill your returns. Now let's go deeper into the leverage play. Here's what makes this all super powerful. You're not just getting leverage, you're getting leverage on appreciating asset that produces cash flow and provide tax benefits. That's the magic of multifamily. What do I mean by this? Let's say that the $15 million property appreciates at just 3% per year. That's $450,000 in annual appreciation, but you only have $500,000 of your own money in the deal. That's 90% return just from appreciation before you count cash flow, tax benefits, and mortgage pay down. This is how real wealth is built in multifamily real estate, not through sweat equity or finding the perfect deal, but through intelligent use of leverage and sophisticated financing structures. But before you get too excited, let me warn you about the critical pitfalls that destroys investors. Pitfall number one, taking recourse debt when non-recourse is available. I don't care if the recourse loan is 0.5% cheaper. It's not worth risking your personal assets. Pitfall number two, mismatching your loan terms with your business plan. Again, if you're planning a 2-year value add play, don't take on a 10-year fixed rate debt with prepayment penalties. Pitfall number three, not understanding rate reset risk. If you're taking on floating debt, make sure your cash flow can handle rate increases. We've seen deals fail because investors didn't stress test their finances. Pitfall number four, ignore loan covenants. Many loans have debt servicing coverage ratios, occupancy requirements, or capital expenditure restrictions. Violate these and you could be in default, even if you're making payments. The key is working with experienced mortgage brokers who understand these products and guide you to the right financing for your specific situation. Don't try to navigate this alone. The stakes are too high and the products are too complex. It's pretty amazing, right, that you can own multifamily real estate in the millions when you only put in $300,000 to $500,000 of your own money. But here's where it gets even more interesting, the operational advantage of scaling. At 65 units plus, you can afford a professional on-site management team. You are not dealing with a part-time property manager juggling multiple small properties. You have a dedicated staff whose only job is to maximize the performance of your asset. At 100 plus units, you can afford specialized staff, maintenance technicians, leasing agents, even marketing coordinators. Your property becomes a business, not just a real estate investment. At 200 plus units, you have economies of scale that smaller properties can't touch. Your per unit cost for everything from landscaping to insurance drop dramatically. Your net operating income margins improve significantly. And here's the secret sauce. You can implement revenue management systems like hotels do, dynamic pricing, market rate optimization, auxiliary income streams, or other income streams. We're talking about squeezing every dollar of income out of every square foot. Now, I know what you're thinking, Pommy, this sounds incredible, but I don't have $300,000, let alone $3 million sitting around. Perfect, because neither did we when we started. Here's what we did instead. We used what's called a syndication structure. We found a deal, put it under contract, then raised money from accredited and sophisticated investors. They get returns up to 8 to 10% plus a share on the upside. We get to control the asset and build our own wealth through fees and carried interest. You may say, what if I mess up? What if the property doesn't perform? Here's a beautiful thing about large multifamily. It's actually less risky than smaller properties. Why? Because you have diversification within the asset. If you have 150 units and 10 tenants move out, you lost 6.7% of your income. If you have a duplex and one tenant moves out, you lost 50% of your income. Plus, at this scale, you have professional management, multiple income streams, and the financial cushion to weather storms that would sink smaller properties. But what about the complexity? Yes, it's more complex than buying a single family rental, but the complexity is your friend when it creates barrier to entry for your competition. The complexity is what keeps amateurs out and creates opportunity for professionals like us. Let me show you how wealth compounds at this level. Year one, you syndicate your first 100 unit apartment. You raise $2.5 million and control $12 million of assets and earn $150,000 in fee plus the cash flow. Year two through three, you stabilize the property, increase NOI by 15%. The property is now worth $14 million. You've created $2 million in value. Year four to five, You refinance or sell. Your investors get their returns plus profit sharing, your carried interest, potential $500,000 to $1 million from this one deal. But here's where it gets exponential. While you're managing that first property, you're also raising capital for deal 2, 3, and 4. Remember the pipeline we talked about earlier? By year 5, you might have $50 to $100 million in asset under management. That's precisely how we scaled. We started out with our $6.9 million property and we scaled because we didn't let our pipeline dry up. And that's how we went from $0 to $400 million in just 7 years. We didn't wait for one deal to go full cycle, to go through the purchase to sale cycle, and then start all over again. We stacked these deals and we kept our pipeline flowing. At that scale, you're not just an investor, you're a fund manager. You're earning acquisition fees, asset management fees, disposition fees, carried interest across multiple properties. We're talking about the potential of $1 to $5 million in annual income, plus a long-term wealth building from your ownership stakes in appreciating assets. I joke about this with my sister Nancy all the time, that we have one of the most sophisticated retirement plan, money we can't touch for the next 3 to 5 years, already baked into our retirement. So let me paint the picture for you. Imagine waking up tomorrow and checking your phone. While you were asleep, 200 families across 3 different properties paid you rent. Your professional management teams handle any issues. Your bank account grew by $15,000 overnight. Imagine having a portfolio that generates $2 to $3 million in annual cash flow. Imagine never having to worry about your job, your retirement, or your child's college tuition again. Imagine building something so substantial that it provides financial security for generations of your family. Growing up, my sister and I didn't have any connection to real estate. We didn't have family money, but we had something more powerful. We had the right information, the right strategy, and the courage to think bigger than everyone around us. We didn't start with 200 units. We started with a small 76 unit, learned the business, built our credibility, and systematically scaled up. But we always had our eyes on the prize, build a portfolio that would create generational wealth. Today, we control $400 million in multifamily assets. We created wealth not just for ourselves, but thousands of investors who trusted us with their capital, and we're just getting started. But here's what you need to understand. This window of opportunity won't last forever. Interest rates are changing. Institutional capital is flooding back into multifamily apartments. The competition is increasing every month. For the past few years, cap rates have expanded to 6-7%, but we're not at the bottom of the market. And we're expecting those same properties to start trading at 4-5% cap rates in 2027 and 28. What does this mean? It means that the early money will make the money. People who enter the market today will be making the money in a couple years because they're buying deals at a discount. But here's the opportunity that still exists. While everyone else is chasing small single-family homes, you're chasing institutional quality, stabilized properties with still potential for value add. Opportunities for investors like yourself who understand how to execute the business plan. But you need to move fast because every month that passes, more sophisticated investors are entering the space. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is today. You have two choices right now. You can continue to do what you've always done, trade time for money, hope your 401k will somehow be enough for retirement. Stay stuck in the small-time real estate game, or you can make the decision that separates the wealthy from the broke. You can choose to think like the institutional investors, not small-time mom-and-pop retail investors. So here's what I want you to do right now. First, start connecting with commercial brokers, sign on to their deal list. Second, set your filter for multifamily properties between $8 to $25 million in growing markets. Pick just 3 markets. Don't go crazy. And very importantly, don't just look at pretty pictures. Study the rent rolls, analyze the financials, and understand what drives value at this level.
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.